First John chapter 2, verse 14. 1 John 2, 14 said, I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who have been from the beginning. Thank God for fathers. And in this church, we are blessed with one of the amazing, faithful fathers who has labored faithfully for years. I'm talking about Bishop Patrick Bruce. Hallelujah. He's such a great example to all of us. You know, he has been a servant of God for years. Right? He was sent as a missionary to the northern part of Ghana. And he was there for years. He built a beautiful mega church in the north and started so many branches and buildings all over in the north, scattered everywhere. And the prophet brought him to Kumasi to also continue with the good work. And what a great work he has done in Kumasi. Hallelujah. Today he has been given an assignment. And he's a chairman for our 1965 committee. And then also he's taking a lighter job in terms of pastoring because he's more of a traveling minister now. He has so many churches to travel to visit, both home and abroad. Hallelujah. And that is why he's not here today. Amen. Because his work has changed, and we feel that he has so much grace to be a blessing to the worldwide ministry, not only Bantama. Hallelujah. So we thank God for the life of Bishop Patrick, for his faithfulness and his steadfastness all these years, and for being a good example to all of us. Hallelujah. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the evil one. Hallelujah. Today, I want to talk to you about the glory of the young. See, the glory of the young. Yes. When I talk about the glory of the young, I'm talking about what makes a younger person glorious. There is beauty in being young. Hallelujah. I say there is beauty in being young. And so, even if you are growing in age, you must consciously decide that you want to look young. Amen. You want to look young. Let's read another scripture and I'll say one or two things. This is a short service. Proverbs 20:29. Proverbs 20:29. It says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. Hallelujah. The beauty of old men is the gray head, and the glory or the beauty of young men is their strength. Hallelujah. So now the Bible is showing us right here that a young man, your glory or your beauty is in your strength, your ability to be strong. It's what shows how glorious or how powerful you are. And then when you see an older man with gray or an older woman with gray hairs, you know, obviously you also see that this person is a survivor. He has been around for a long time. By the hair. He knows things. That's why I said, I write unto you, fathers, because you know him from the beginning. Like, the person has been around for a long time. And when you see people who have been around for a long time, you have to remove your hat and salute them. Because they have seen things you haven't seen before. They have gone through things you haven't been through before. They have experienced things you are yet to experience. They have overcome many temptations and trials of life. They have survived many arrows of darkness. They have survived even sicknesses and diseases. They have survived death. Death, because you can die at any time. But when you see somebody with gray hair, it means that he has survived the arrows of death and is still around. That's the beauty of old men. Yes. That's why you have to respect the aged. Respect people with gray hair. Respect your grandmother. Respect your grandfather. I visited my mother yesterday or 2 days ago, and my grandmother is still alive. She's 94, 92 or so. Yes. Not even one of her teeth has been removed since she was born. All her teeth are intact. Yes, they are all there. And she speaks normally, talks normally. Her eyesight is not dim. She can hear, she can see and hear and do everything at 92. Hey! As I was looking at her, I said, wow, this is what is called a blessing. A blessing. So that's the beauty of old men or old women, that they have been around for a long time. I prophesy over your life that you'll be around for a long time. Amen. You are not dying anytime soon. Amen. You will live to be an aged man, like it was said of David, that he died in a good old age. I declare that you will also die in a good old age, in the name of Jesus. Yes. You are not dying soon. Yes. You will see your great grandchildren. Hallelujah. Yes. But I'm talking about the glory of the young. When you are young, your strength as a young man, it's what beautifies your life. When you are young, you are full of strength. That's what I said. The glory of the young is their strength. I have written unto you, young men, because you have the word of God in you. You see, it takes strength to have word of God in you. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. You have the word of God in you, and you overcome the wicked one. It takes the strength of a young person to overcome Satan. The wicked one is called Satan, the devil. So even if you are old, you have to take upon yourself the strength of a young person to deal with the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Satan responds to your strength. And when I talk about strength, there are different dimensions of strength. We have spiritual strength, which is the mother of all strength. We have physical strength. We have emotional strength. We have intellectual strength. We have moral strength. We have financial strength. Now, all these dimensions of strength is needed to overcome the wicked one in your life. And even physical strength. Hallelujah. So, you need to develop all these dimensions of strength to bring glory to your life as a young person. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. It means you are strong spiritually. You are strong physically. You are strong emotionally. You are strong morally. You are strong intellectually. You are strong mentally. You are strong financially. These are the dimensions of strength that beautifies your life, that makes you stand out. And that when people look at you, they say, wow, what a man. Hallelujah. So, I want to talk to you about one or two of the dimensions of strength. Yes. Which this year, you see, this year is a greater and a better year. A greater and a better year means that everything about you must be great. Your strength must be great. I say your strength must be great. Your spiritual strength must be great. It must be great and better. Your physical strength must be great and better. Your financial strength must be great and better. Your moral strength must be great and better. Your emotional strength must be great and better. Your mental strength must be great and better. Every dimension of strength in your life must be great and better to experience a glorious 2025. Romans chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 11. It says, not slothful in business. Don't be a lazy Christian or a lazy person. Don't be lazy at anything that you set your hands to do. Don't be lazy about your spirituality. Some people are very lazy when it comes to spirituality. They are lazy. The reason why they are not strong is because they are lazy. Lazy to pray, lazy to come to church, lazy to wake up, lazy to go for evangelism. Fervent in spirit. Spiritual strength is the mother of all strength. You must be in possession of spiritual strength to manifest the glory that is allocated to you. Amen. When we talk about spiritual strength, we are talking about being on fire for the Lord. We are talking about spiritual intensity. Being intense about your spirituality. And being vibrant. We are talking about spiritual vibrancy. We are talking about spiritual vigor. We are talking about spiritual stamina. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When the Bible says, be fervent in spirit, he's saying that be intense in your spirit. Be intense spiritually. You must go deeper spiritually. We are talking about vibrancy. You must be vibrant in your spirituality. There must be some vigor, some energy in your spirituality. Nobody has to follow you up to come to church. Nobody has to call you, telepastoring. When they call you, tell them, I'm sorry, I'm not one of those people you need to call before I come to church. I know what is good for me. I will be in church. We are talking about spiritual stamina. The ability to stay on course for a long time without giving up or getting tired. Some of you are basenta leaders, constituency leaders, or pastors. You are tired already. You are tired. You lack stamina. You began very well 5 years ago. You began here 2 years ago. But as we are here, sitting here right now, I mean, you've lost stamina. You are no more the same person. The intensity is not the same. The vibrancy is not the same. The vigor is not the same. The fire is almost quenched. When was the last time you prayed for 3 hours on your own? Not a prayer meeting from the pastor or from the bishop, but on your own, you wake up and decide to pray for 3 hours. You decide to have a prayer walk for 1 hour. Twelve to three. When was the last time you had a personal all night? Bible says, be ye therefore imitators of God. When God became a man, he had all night alone, not with people, alone. In Luke 6, the Bible says he went into the mountain and prayed the whole night. When God became a man and took upon himself the form of a man and fashioned as a man, he prayed the whole night. He had a personal all night where he went to a place and he prayed the whole night. When was the last time you wake up at 4 a.m. to pray, to call upon God? When God became a man, he woke up. Mark 1:35, Bible says, a great while before day, he woke up, he arose and went into a solitary place, and there he prayed. In the Middle East, a great while before day, before 4 a.m., the sun is out. Jesus will wake up, and he will move to a quiet place, and there he prayed. You see, that is the beauty. So when you talk about Jesus, the beauty and the glory that came out of him was as a result of his spiritual strength. His spiritual strength. The beauty of Jesus was as a result of his spiritual strength. So you want to see beauty in your life? You want to experience spiritual beauty? You want to experience financial beauty, physical beauty, mental strength? You need to be spiritually strong. That's why I say that spiritual strength is the mother of all strength. That when you don't have it, I tell you, anything that will depict glory in your life will be missing. Yes. You may be intellectually great. You may be the best in your school. But if you lack spiritual strength, your education is going nowhere. Your education is going nowhere. When I was in the university, I had one of the best students. I mean, our course was a very difficult course. You know, in a very difficult university, I went to KVAS. KVAS, you have to get 80% before you can have A. Tech and other place, you just need 70%. And it's not easy to get 80 in exams. It's easy to get 70 if you're a serious Christian and a serious person, a serious student. But this guy will get A. It's like every subject A, biochemistry A, every difficult course you get A. When you see him, he has his backpack. He carries his backpack. It has a toothbrush. It has a comb. It has cream. It has everything. Face towel, everything. He stays in the lecture theater. He bathes there and stay and study every day. You see him there. I tell you, servant armed and trained, student armed and trained. But the last time they were asking us to make some contribution to help this guy in our student page, our mates, my colleagues, we have a page. They were asking us to make some contribution to help him in life. Hey. The best student in the class, who were over 200 students. Wow. First class. Because he developed his intellectual strength, but his spiritual strength, he wouldn't go. I never saw him going to church. So, some of you are students here. You are in school. Let me tell you, it's not about getting the best of grades. It's good, steady, but it is about the grace and the mercies of God. Yes. Yes. The Bible says the race is not to the swift, neither the battle to the strong. It's not about that. It is not him that willeth nor him that runneth, but the Bible says it is the Lord that showeth mercy. So spiritually. Be intense about your spirituality. Be interested in the things of God. Don't become a Sunday church attendee that you only come to church to sit and listen to Bishop Otim preach and then bless you and then you go home. Be part of the church. Be part of the different things that are done in the church. They are there to help you build you up spiritually. Very soon, you are going to start 3 weeks of fasting. It's not to help you to reduce your weight. It's to help you to build yourself spiritually, to become a spiritual giant. Most of the ladies, when it comes to the fasting, they are happy because hey, it's time to reduce weight. Right? It's rather time to build yourself up spiritually, to become a spiritual giant in the realms of the spirit. Hallelujah. Intensity. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. When you are not fervent in the spirit, you can't even serve God. You can't serve God. You'd rather be angry with your pastor and your bishop. You'll be angry with anybody who will tell you to come and do something for the Lord. But when you are fervent in spirit, nobody has to tell you what to do in church. You find yourself serving the Lord. You find yourself going out on the street, evangelizing, mobilizing people, putting people together, putting them in trotro, bringing them by Uber, putting them at the back of your car, and bringing them to church. Nobody will tell you to do that because you are fervent in spirit. Your spirit is inclined and in tune with the heartbeat of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. I write unto you, young man, because you are strong. Because you are strong. Because you are strong. Are you strong? Ask your neighbor, are you strong? And you have the word of God above in you. Look at you, plenty young people here. You know John 3:17. You know John 3:16, but you know John 3:17. Do you know John 3:18? Do you know Romans 6:23? Do you know Romans 6:23? Romans 3:23, do you know it? Do you know Romans 10 verse 1? Romans 10 verse 9 and 10? Do you know Romans 8 verse 1? Do you know Romans 8, 26, 28, 31, 35, 37, and 38? Do you know it? Yes. You see, that's the beauty of you. The beauty of you is that you have the word of God abide in you. That at any point in time, you are able to quote the word of God. Yes. You are able to quote the word of God. You have the word of God. You see, Jesus was 12 years old when he sat at the feet of the doctors. In Luke 2:47, the Bible says he sat at the feet of the doctors, both hearing and asking questions. And they were astonished. They were astonished. They were surprised. All them that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. You see, that's the beauty of a young person, that you are so fervent in spirit that when you speak, people are astonished, people are challenged, people are enchanted by your wisdom and by the way you are able to articulate and explain things and walk in a certain way. So they marvel, they look at Jesus and say, wow! Wow! That's the beauty of a young person. That you have the word of God abide in you. You are listening to messages. I'm telling you. I was 20 years old when I decided to pray 6 hours every day. My first year in the university. I prayed 6 hours every day for a whole year. I was only 20 years old. Two 2 hours every morning from 4 to 6, from 12 to 2, and from 8 to 10 p.m. I never missed even a day, including weekends, for a whole year. That's the foundation I'm standing on. I said, that's the foundation I am standing on. What foundation are you standing on? Is it a spiritual foundation? What spiritual foundation have you laid for your life? Since 1999, I'm still standing on that foundation. And the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Then you are a young person. Somebody feeds you. Somebody pays your school fees. You don't have much to do. Instead of you to pray, you are playing games. You are addicted to games on the internet. You take your phone, you are playing games the whole night. Instead of you to rise up and pray. You say, oh, me, I'm young. When I grow up. When you grow up, ask those who have grown up. That's why today young people are dying left, right, center. They don't have any foundation. They can't survive. We have young people who marry and divorce. Not somebody to have witnessed young people married and getting divorced in the church, not outside the church. Because there's no foundation. People are not spiritual. Especially if you're a child of a pastor. You think that your pastor's, your father's prayer will take care of you. You need to build your own capacity. You need to build your own foundation. You need to be spiritual. You need to grow in the spirit. You need to be fervent in the spirit. You must be praying in tongues. You must be walking and praying in tongues. You must be waking up as a young person. Before you take your book to study, you should have prayed for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour, praying in the spirit. Spiritual strength also means you are spiritually alert and awake. Oh, yes. Yes. You are sensitive. Your spirit is alive. You can pick out signals. When the lion roars, you can pick up. You can know that the lion has roared. Some of you, the lion is roaring, but you can't even hear. Recently, we were in a place in Kenya, a place called Masai Mara. It's a game reserve. We're living with lions. You hear the lion roar, and antelopes will be running towards where we were. So you wonder where is the lion, because the antelopes have all run to us. Then in the morning when we wake up, decided to go around, and we realized that we were not far from the lions at all. We were actually living with the lions. Some of you, the lion is roaring, but you can't hear. Antelopes are running, you are standing. Because you are not spiritually alert. The Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. While men were not awake. Some of you sleep as though you are rehearsing to die. As you know, are you one of such people? I mean, when you sleep, we have to come and check your pulse to see your heartbeat, to see whether you are really alive. God, no matter what happens, you are gone. One guy, he slept. Armed robbers came. They took away everything in the room. After that, they even shaved him. He never woke up. Yes. When he woke up and saw that everything in the room had disappeared, he thought he was dreaming. Then he put his hand on his head. And then he realized that there were no hairs on the hair. He said, no, it is not me. It's not me. It is you. It is you. Many Christians are like that. They sleep the sleep of death, whilst the enemy is robbing them of their life, their health, everything about them is being robbed off from them. Still, they are sleeping. They are not challenged. You can't see. Look at your family. Look at the confusion in your family. Look at the problems in your family. It's supposed to keep you awake, to be spiritually awake. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober and vigilant. Why? Your adversary, you have an adversary. He's called the devil. You can't appease the devil. You can't beg him. No, there's nothing like that. Satan, I beg you, don't attack me. There's nothing like that. He's on the loose, seeking for whom he may devour. He's seeking. He's on a mission, seeking for whom he may devour. So if you are spiritual, if you are not alert, you are not awake, as the enemy is coming, you'll be surprised that you'll be welcoming him. Because you can't even identify him. Some of you, the person you call your friend is your number one enemy. Is the one working against you. Is the one instigating and creating confusion against your life. But you are not even aware. And so, that's my best friend. I share every secret with him. You might as well go to CNN and broadcast all your issues there. Because as you talk to him or her, she also goes around. Yes. Abubekawa. Nifrel. Nifriuntumem. Rollins says Nifran Tuma. Yes. But when you are spiritually strong, I'm telling you. You know, one day I was sleeping Sunday morning. Then I woke up. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, go to the church. Go to the church. We were renting a place. Now this, our landlord, we had paid our money and he was asking for more money because he said the church has grown. More people have bought cars. So he wanted more money. He sees a lot of cars parked in front of the church. So we said, look, our contract is not over. When the contract is over, we can talk about a new one. He kept putting pressure on us. And it's like, he wanted to frustrate us. So one Sunday morning, he had brought a team of people and they were locking down the whole building with chains and huge padlocks around 2 a.m. I was sleeping. Suddenly, I woke up. I wanted to pray, but I heard the voice. In my spirit was alert. Said, go to the church. When I got to the church, he was there with five people with ladders and they were locking down the gate, the entrance of the church with locks. And when he saw me, he couldn't believe it. He said, hey, pastor, what are you doing here? I said, you two, what are you doing here? So I called one of my pastors. I said, come here right now, bring police. 2, 3 a.m. So I was standing there, also there. And then the police came, three policemen with my pastor. And then we told them the problem. I said, I just came to see these people locking down our church. Sunday morning. The police said, you can't do that. If you want them to leave, go by the contract. Write a letter. Give them eviction notice. And they had to remove all the chains and the padlocks. 2 a.m. Would have come to church at 8 a.m. And the whole church would be locked. Confusion. I see my spirit was alive to pick out the signals. Be sober, be vigilant. Some of you are not spiritually awake. You are sleeping spiritually. And the enemy has a free day, enjoying free lunches and dinners at your expense. Changing a good man into a bad man. You married a good husband, but he's changing. He's becoming funny. You married a good woman, but she's changing.
because we are not spiritually awake and alert. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. You have overcome the wicked one.
It takes strength to overcome the wicked one. Don't think you are too young to overcome the devil. No. Because as you age, waking up is not easy. Have you not seen that the grown-ups are always dozing off? Yes. So if they have not built a foundation which they are standing on, it's not going to be easy for them. At a certain age, you can't even fast. You can't stay awake for a long time. You can't do a lot of things. So this is the time. Tell someone, this is the time. This is the moment to build your spiritual strength. Yes. And this year, greater and better year, you need to be spiritually strong. You need to be greater in the spirit. You need to be fervent in the spirit. You need to be powerful in the spirit to have something to stand on. Hallelujah. Yes. So that is spiritual strength. Now let me talk to you about mental strength. Say mental strength. How many are going to develop your spiritual strength? Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Now, when you are mentally strong, it means you're able to take quality decisions. Quality decisions. Yes. Mental strength has to do with your mind, your ability to make decisions. You have to look around you and say, the friend that I'm this friend that I have in my life, does he help me? Is he a good friend? You see, quality of your decisions will determine so many things about you. Will actually determine the kind of glory you even enjoy. Who to marry? It's one of the most important decisions of your life. You marry the wrong person, before that will be corrected, half of your life is gone. 50% of your life is gone. Life is all about decision making. And if you are not mentally strong, most of your decisions will be wrong. You have to take major decisions for your life. And a major decision would bring a major change, positively or negatively. A person with a mental strength would take up a decision to serve God. One of the best decisions of your life is the decision to serve God. I'm telling you. Because you see, whether you like it or not, you will serve something. You will serve some. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. It means that everybody is serving something. And whoever you serve becomes your master. So if you serve God, God becomes your master. And if God becomes your master, you don't have any problem. So this year, take a quality decision to serve God. Don't be one of those people who just come to sit in the church. No. Come on. Decide that I'm going to serve God. Decide that I'm going to be useful. And until you are youthful, you can't be useful. You have to be young to be useful to God. Hallelujah. Yes. So it's a decision you have to take. It's one of the quality decisions you must take for your life. Yes. And learn to be thoughtful. Until you are thoughtful, you can't be colorful. Your life will not be colored with glory and beauty if you are not the type who sits to think like the prodigal son. In Luke 15, I believe verse 70. The Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many high servants are in my father's house and have food to eat and bread to spare? And I sit here and I'm suffering with hunger. I will arise and I will go to my father. And when I go, I will say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. And I'm not worthy to be called one of your sons. Make me one of your high servants. Quality decision. Quality decision. You have to look at your life, where you are in life, and make certain decisions that will bring a major change and a major transformation to your own life. You have to look at where you are staying and the harassment you are going through with your landlord and your landlady, and decide to stop eating fried rice and chicken and save money to go and get a land in some town somewhere and start a foundation, a building project. Oh, you don't understand my message.
That's it.
Yes. Quality decisions. I say, until you become thoughtful, your life will not be colorful.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Think for a change. Look at the confusion in your marriage and begin to think and ask questions.
Think.
Madam wife. Oh, they are not here. They will come in the second service. Yes. You have to think. How come my husband is not enchanted by me these days? Where Jay Jao? No more life will be. Because when you're on cry 5, 2, you're okay. When you're 2, you're okay. Ring here, they are shaming, sir. The man is mine. Hey, pray about it. Think. Yes. Every bad situation in your life, you can come out of it by just thinking through. Including your finances. I'm telling you. Think to break through. Yes, analyze. That's why God has given you a mind to think. Bible said, let this mind be in you as it was in Christ Jesus, who be in form of God, thought it no robbery to be equal with God. Humility. Sometimes you just have to think and say that, I think I become proud. In relation to your pastor, you have become proud. You're always challenging his decisions. You're always picking back. You don't take instructions. You always have something else to say, something else to do. All those things, they affect you. And that was not the mind that Jesus had. Even though he was in the form of God, he taught it no robbery. Yeah, we are all pastors, but we are all not the same. We are all bishops, but we are all not the same. We are all shepherds, but we are all not the same. It's a mind to have. You see, it's one of the mental strength to develop. The ability to be humble. Humility is of the mind. It's a decision you have to make. It's not something to pray about. The Bible says, humble yourself therefore in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. You must do it. When it comes to humility, you have to take that decision to be humble. To be humble like a servant. To be humble like a little child. It's a decision. And with that mental strength, you will never take a decision to be humble. You will rather be arguing and fighting and challenging and always being stubborn. And it will not take you far. Because before pride, go at the fall. And shame. So the prodigal son, he's one of the greatest characters in the Bible. I'm telling you. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of good that followed to me." And his father divided his living. And not many days after, he went into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And there arose a great, a mighty famine. He began to be in want. He was sent to go and fish swines. And he wished he was giving some of the food that was given to the swine, but no man gave unto him. He now looked at his life and said, look at me. I was living in my father's house. I had my father to advise me when I was doing the wrong thing. If I was in my father's house, I wouldn't be in this situation. I think my father would have told me that, son, that's not how to use money. The way you are spending money, you'll be broke very soon. But I had nobody to speak to me. Nobody. Now look at my life. What a wasted life. Now I'm here, I can't even have food to eat. You know what? I've made a mistake. First of all, I have to accept that I have made a mistake. People who don't accept their mistakes never change and they never become better people. This year, 2025, a year of greater and better. Learn to accept your mistakes. Learn to analyze and see yourself as a problem instead of pointing fingers at people. Who are the reasons why you are this, you have not become this, you are not that? Come on! He said, I'm the fault, I'm the problem. I've messed up, I've made a mistake. I made wrong decisions. Now to correct it, first of all, I have to go and apologize. Those of you who never say sorry, it's a sign that you are mentally weak. Yes. Sometimes you see in marriage, you see that one person who cannot say sorry because he feels like, yeah, I am not the one to say sorry. I want to show my power. It's a sign that you are mentally weak. You are not strong. A person with mental strength, he's willing to make peace. He's willing to say, I'm sorry. He's willing to say, please forgive me. But when you are not like that, if you are bored, it's up to you. I don't care. Very soon you will care. Yes. Be serious about life. Until you are serious in life, you can't have a glorious life. You cannot. A serious life means a mental strength. May God help you to develop your mental strength this year. Yes. Amen. Yes. A person with a mental strength makes sacrifices. Sacrifices. Hallelujah. Yeah, the keyboard is giving me signs that my time is up. Yes. For everything you have to gain, there is something you have to give or you have to lose. Hallelujah. Yes. So be ready to lose something to gain something. That's the mind you must have. You want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer, you want to be an engineer, you want to be a whatever, have a profession. You have to give up something. You have to give up your time. Make sacrifice to study. And stay on it. And study to pass all your exams. And don't join the fools to play around. To be watching television, TikToking. Watching every foolish things on TikTok. Somebody is fooling to make money. And you are just watching. How much do you get? As he is fooling, he's getting money. You are watching. You are getting nothing. You are rather paying money with data and wasting your time and your energy and your everything. Yes. You see, a person with a mental strength, he's smart. Yes, he thinks. It's like football. I used to like football a lot. The early days of my Christian life, Sundays, I wouldn't stay for shepherd's service or shepherd's training. I'm going to Kumasi Sports Stadium. As I'm in the church, my ticket is even there. And I'm looking at my time and I say, Pastor, be fast, be fast. The man start at 3. You are expected to close at 12:30. By 1, I go straight to the stadium. Because of that, I will not even come to church with the Bible. Yes. But one day my pastor preached a certain message. Then I realized that I had to give up my desire for football to gain something spiritually. So that I can stay around and be trained and be part of the fellowship in the church. And to be groomed up and to become a better Christian and a better person. Yes. So one day he preached about sacrifice. My ticket was in my pocket. After church, I just took the ticket and I tore it. And that was the last time I went to the stadium. Yes. That was 1999. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So make sacrifices. Amen. A person with a mental strength, he draws insight from the school of life. You see, life is a school. Whatever you see around is supposed to teach you something. Solomon said, I walk by the field of the sluggard, a lazy person. And I said, wow. Suddenly I received an insight that a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Ha! So shall your poverty come like an armed man who has come with AK-47. You see that you can't do anything. He took inspiration. He said, that's man, you have to learn, draw insight and inspiration from the things you see around. You see somebody struggling with diabetes. Suddenly you have to, hey, this sugar thing, these sweet, sweet things that I like. And when you're there, you have a nice sense of taste. It means diagnose your sugar level. Be a honey womb, way womb, way womb. Hey! Oh, yes, I'm preaching. Suddenly, I would die. Oh, we're not oil. You don't feel it. You need to feel the oil on your tank. You have to look at people who are suffering with diabetes. Huh? And draw inspiration. I'm talking about a person with a mental strength. See, the glory of the young is their strength. And I'm talking about mental strength. The ability to draw insight and inspiration from the environment around you. Every day is a school. The people you meet are your teachers. Learn from them. Learn from the school of life. Yes. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Lift up your hands and pray for grace. Karaboshi Karabaya. Karaboshi Taya Karabaya. Iyanderebeshi Karaboshi Karabaya. Come on, pray. It's a greater and a better year. Pray for spiritual strength. Pray that this year you increase in strength spiritually. You'll be alert. You'll be awake. You'll be a strong Christian. You'll be fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. Rakato shekarabala karakata. Rekataya karabashi koro brekataya baba. Remakata rikato shekarabra baba karataya. Remakato shekarabra kato shekarabra baba. Mazende reba karakato shekarabra to shekarabra baba ya. Oh yes Lord. Malima rakata la bo shekalaba. Rekato rakaba le karaka to se karaba. Mazinka raka roka tabo she karaba ya taya taleya. Oh, tell the Lord for grace to be fervent in spirit. Grace to be strong in spirit. Grace to be spiritually strong and to be mentally strong. Your mental fortitude must be strong this year. You will take quality decisions. You will take good decisions. Decisions that will bring progress and advancement. Decisions that will catapult you to a realm of greatness, to a realm of glory. In the name of Jesus. Mandarabose karakata libarakato rakata yakarabaya. Shandarabose karabariyakato abarakata yakarakataya. Ah, libariando sukarakaya. A decision to serve the Lord. A decision to follow the Lord. A decision to give yourself to Jesus. A decision to become a battle axe in the hands of God. That the Lord will use you this year. A decision to be on fire for Jesus. To be a vibrant Christian. Oh, to maintain your cause as a Christian in the name of Jesus. Mandorobo Sintian Karakata Baria Kotoya. Shandorobo Sekara Barabaya. Ye Marakata Baria Kato Shateya Malaba. Manzondo Robokata Lebosetai Balabaya. Ah, receive spiritual fervency in your spirit. Ah, receive a baptism of zeal and passion in your spirit. Re barakato sata barakata bayata yama. Mazindi yakato sataya. Receive a baptism of fire. You be a man of fire. A woman of fire. There'll be spiritual fervency and passion. You be passionate about God this year. You be passionate about the things of God this year. In the name of Jesus. You be spiritually alert and awake. Yes, Saleba, Koleba, Mazala, Moleba, Yimela, Shandeya, Lemata, Kolola, Shalibilita Leba, Sola Metayata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And every eye closed and every head bowed. You are here today. Maybe someone invited you to church. But maybe deep within your heart, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. But you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Christ today. I want to be born again. Maybe you were once a serious Christian, but you are backslidden. You want to renew your walk with God, rededicate your life to Christ. I'm also talking to you. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand and I want to pray with you. Just your right hand. It's a major decision. It's a good decision. It shows that mentally you are strong. A decision to take Jesus, to accept Jesus into your life as your Lord and personal Savior. God bless you. I see many hands up. Many hands are up. God bless you. Now, if your hand is lifted up, come to me in front here. Let's pray. Come. Oh, yes. Rakata Boseta. Oh yes. Come running. Yes. Malaka rakato yaba. Ye barakato sata yamaraba. Rekato rakata yema. Mashe barakataya, ye marakata labaya, remakata yabaya, shandarabaya. Alright. Lift up your hands, all those of you in front, lift up your hands to the Lord, two hands to the Lord. Oh Jesus. What a blessing. Oh, yes. Now I want you to pray this prayer after me. Pray genuinely from the bottom of your heart and say it as you mean it. And God is going to save you this morning. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins. For I accept that I am a sinner and I've made many mistakes. But dear Lord Jesus, have mercy on me and save me today from all my sins. Come into my heart as my Lord and personal Savior and write my name in the book of life. I declare that I am born again and I am a child of God and I am a new creature. Therefore, all things have passed away and all things have become new. I receive the grace of God to walk in the newness of my life as a born again Christian. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and for hearing this prayer. Amen." Father, I pray for these ones. I bless them, Lord. Lord, in 1998, I received an invitation to give my life to Christ. And I came forward just as they have also come forward. And Lord, you touched my life and transformed my life. Do it for these ones, these young ones. Do it for them. Change their lives completely. Let Christ be formed in them. Let them love you. Let them desire you. Let them choose you all the days of their lives. Let them want to know you more and more. Oh, out of them shall flow rivers of living water. The Holy Ghost, let it fill them in the name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Transform their lives. Change them, Lord. Be with them. They are yours. They belong to you, Jesus. Let no man pluck them out of your hands. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.